just stepped into the studio here.
Eddie O.
The great Eddie Olchek is with us. And it's,
there you go.
Hello.
It's you know, the kind of moment when, you know, you get a Hockey Hall of Famer sitting next to you.
Not every day. It doesn't happen.
But it feels very, very, it feels very... like I should be sitting here when
like
sitting
it's worthy of your company,
right.
He's like worthy of it.
Exactly.
Well,
like
just full disclosure, all we've done is talk horse racing since I started.
That's true.
Right?
So.
Learning a lot about apps and such.
How are you guys doing?
Couldn't
good.
Be better.
Good.
Life
couldn't
is
be better.
Good.
Well, thanks for being here.
So let's talk a little bit. Can I just ask you about the Scott Darling story? I love the story out of Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, he sees a homeless guy. Scott has had his own battles with alcohol. Mm-hmm. Sees a homeless guy, starts talking to him, and then he gets him an Uber, and he puts him up at a hotel for a week and tries to turn the guy's life around.
Bought him groceries. They basically took a real interest in this
guy.
Yeah. A total stranger.
Exactly. There's some kind of a spirit. I hate to get you know, too, I don't know, rah-rah about this, but there's something about this particular organization that is changing not only the game of hockey, I think, but, you know, they're celebrities beyond their celebrity. Like the Bulls, I think, were in the 1990s in a lot of ways.
There's also a character issue, I think, there, too.
Yeah, it is about the people. And that's really where it all starts. It starts with the leadership of this franchise and this organization with Rocky Wirtz, obviously, and mm-hmm. John McDonough and Jay Blunk, and then you go all the way through. And look, I'll say this, is that knowing Scott Darling, this would be okay if nobody knew about this.
Right.
He did not do this
right.
for being talked about on the newscast or on your show. And like Scott Darling is not that. He is not that type of person. There are people out there that do things and want the attention to it and say, hey, look what I did. Mm-hmm. So let's make that perfectly clear. There are a lot of people that do a lot of great things, not only the Blackhawk family, but outside in our community that a lot of people do things for people. But I mean, this story certainly, it touches Scott Darling.
It's
kind of spread like wildfire, and that's great, because the world we live in, more times than not, negativity sells.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys agree with that, but it just seems like
that's how we make our money, unfortunately.
We're bathing in it every day.
But you know, I mean, that's it, it's a and it doesn't surprise me. So,
special.
I don't wear a goalie mask, but I tip my goalie mask to Scott Darling.
Talk about Coach Q is saying she's trying to get him to get in the game a little bit more. It's hard. Crawford's so strong.
He's so strong.
But still, you got a guy like Darling who deserves some play time, too.
Well, he does, and I think that as the season goes on, Anna, you'll see where the Blackhawks are positionally in the standing, so that you want to make sure that Corey has his opportunity to breathe a little bit, rest a little bit, and the schedule will determine and dictate how much Scott Darling gets in there. But look, that's his role. And look, mm-hmm. last year, people should not forget is how important he was
Absolutely.
In round one against the Nashville Predators when he came in and was the, I used this phrase last year during the playoffs, is that he was the best long reliever in Chicago sports last year. And the way he played gave the Hawks an opportunity to get back in it.
Right.
And gave Corey Crawford an opportunity to get his skates under him. And then we know what happened with Crow the rest of the way. So it's a team, but it's important, Anna, that Joel does get Scott Darling in there, give him some reps, because you just never know when you might need to go back to him.
Right.
Or an
right.
injury or whatever it is. So he's going to have to get some opportunities and not go, you know, 2-3 weeks without seeing
right.
game action.
Because were it not for him, they would not have won the Stanley Cup last year.
No, he came in large, and that's what you need. And look, to be a Chicago guy and to be that first Chicago guy to have his name on a Stanley Cup as a member of the Blackhawks, I mean, that will be forever. And it's been great, and you need everybody. We talk about it a lot. You need depth. You need your role players to do two things. And everybody's got a role on this team, from Patrick Kane all the way to just say Scott Darling, because he's the backup goaltender. You got to do two things, accept and execute. Those are the two things you have to do in your role. Regardless of how big the piece of the puzzle is or how small it is, you got to do those two things. And Scott Darling did that to a T last year, and he continues to do that this year.
Now, I know you weren't calling the game Saturday Dallas, but what sweet revenge. You know, that Dallas game in December was mm-hmm. one that I, you know, it left a bad taste, I think, in a lot of the Blackhawks' mouths. Certainly did in my. I'm not a Blackhawk, but it certainly did in mine. And now, you know, to go back into Dallas, and so many Hawks fans.
Yeah,
always though. Always. They're. Yeah. I mean, I'm a lot biased on this. This is the greatest city in the world. We have the greatest sports fans in
Absolutely.
The world, and Blackhawk fans are certainly at the top of that list. They're traveling extremely well. We know how. I mean, we're probably about 35 yards from the seats here at the United Center in the 100 level concourse, and it's tough to get tickets. So people make their plans on getting out of Dodge, getting to places where they can get tickets and be able to watch their favorite team. And man, we've been in some buildings. I mean, it's been 60%, 70%. I mean, we were in Carolina the other night, and I mean, it was probably 65%. The game in Phoenix probably was just north of that as well.
Yeah, I bet.
And it's been pretty incredible, and the Hawks were able to keep that nice little run going on that road trip. And, you know, look, before that, they had lost 3 of 4.
Right.
Now they've won the 3 in a row. So, you know, and that's coming off the 12-game, you know, the 12-game winning streak as well. So I think for them, they've found the game. They've gotten depth scoring. They've gotten timely goaltending. And be nice to get some home cooking now with the way the schedule's been. Because I think the Hawks have played one home game here in the last couple of weeks.
Right.
I want to say two or 3 weeks at least.
Been away for 2 weeks.
So it'll be fun.
Yeah, the Escapades trip. I haven't called Escapades anymore.
Disney on Ice. I was here. I was thankful they were away just for at least one day while I was here.
Haven't been in a while.
Yeah, you always have to leave at the halftime. Go, hey, kids, the thing's over.
That is a great trick I'm going to use at some point. I should have used it this time. It was a little too long.
Oh, it's too bad. Thing's over. Yeah, I got to go.
Let it go.
Wait, I thought the prince hasn't come in. No, don't worry. The prince's not coming in this one.
He's on the Kennedy.
Yeah,
we got to go.
Hey, so when they win a game in a decisive fashion as they did in Dallas and kind of give it back to them, is that, I mean, professionally, I know like if you were playing high school or college, it'd be, yeah, we got even with those guys. Professionally, they feel that way too?
I think maybe for some young guys, but I think the guys that have been through the ringer.
Hossa, no.
I don't think so. Yeah. No. I mean, look, they got their heads handed to them in game one.
Right. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
I think the Dallas captain said something like, they embarrassed us.
Uh-huh.
He used those words in our stadium, in front of our fans. Of course, a lot of Blackhawks fans are there too.
Yeah,
but they embarrassed us. Yeah. I mean, they took it.
That's going to be a tough series in the playoffs if it comes to that.
Yeah. And I would be shocked if Dallas doesn't improve their team on the back end. They need help on defense.
Before the trade deadline.
Which is coming up February 29th this year, actually. So I would be really surprised. Like Blackhawk fans know they can score.
Yeah.
They've got pretty good goaltender in Antti Niemi, and Blackhawk fans know that.
I'm trying to remember this. Antti Niemi, where have I heard of him before?
So he has some experience, but, you know, for me, I mean, they got two of the more exciting players in the league in Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin, but I would be shocked if they didn't try to improve their team on the back end, because that's where they're really they're weak on the back end.
How about this? And again, we just keep, you know, every time we talk, and anytime you talk about the Hawks, you got to talk about that line. You got to talk about the Anisimov, you know, Kane Panarin line. But again, I mean, you know, crazy great. What are they? I think they had 2 or 3 goals in that game against Dallas.
Yeah, Anisimov had 4 points.
Right, and it's just an amazing. Again, it's just these guys all know where the other guy is on the ice.
Yeah.
This is something special.
It is, and Anisimov is probably the one that flies under the radar more than anything because of the star power of Patrick Kane and Artemi Panarin. He plays his role extremely well. He's good in faceoffs. He's killing some penalties for Coach Q. It's a team that's playing with a lot of confidence, a line that's playing with a lot of confidence. And I could just speak from experience because when you get on a roll like that, you just know what the other guy's going to do before he doesn't. Mm. And, you know, he may have your back to you. And, you know, it's almost like the pitcher catcher in baseball where you, before the guy puts down his signs, you know exactly what he's going to put down. I mean, that's just the way that it is. And it's been a special line to watch. You could argue it's been the best line in the National Hockey League from the start of the year to this point. And sometimes it looks like it's a game of keep away.
Yeah, I know baseball fans kind of say, you know, a manager doesn't win you games, doesn't lose you games, you know, maybe he's kind of insignificant. But, yeah, when you look at Coach Q and what he's meant to this organization after having to retool after every one of these Stanley Cup finals and championships, the impressive thing to me is just how he's getting these guys to play like they're one cohesive unit. And he got them to play that way pretty early in this year, too, didn't he?
He did, Andy. And, you know, Joel has talked a lot about it. I mean, he really relies on the – leadership of this team, the core group of this team, and you know, look, it was up and down early in the season, and they went on that nice run, and then, you know, I mentioned here the last 6-7 games where they've been, you know, game over 500, but it just, you know, Joel's going to the Hockey Hall of Fame. We knew that a couple of years ago, but now, you know, with the three cups and winning the three cups with three different coaching staffs and just everything he's been able to do. But that comes with experience too. I mean, I've asked Joel a lot about this, Andy, and, you know, he's just talked about that, you know, the experience that he's gained. Sometimes the ones that he's learned the most from and benefited from have been the toughest times over the course of the stretch. And, you know, look, I believe this is that the true color of someone or some team aren't when things are great, but when things are tough. In parentheses, see Cam Newton after the Super Bowl. Right?
How about this? You see what Cam Newton said today? It was, he'll say, I'm a sore loser. I'm a sore loser. But, you know, if you're
not a sore loser.
If you're not a sore loser,
you're
no excuses.
Right?
Well, enough that he's a young guy and whatever. No, come on.
But did you hear the questions they were asking? Like, well, you know, your whole team went
but you
in here.
But, Anna, you have to stand there and you have to give. It's easy to be there when everything's going great and you're the MVP and you're doing all your dances and everything else and you're so animated and you're giving long-winded answers. All of a sudden, you get your head handed to you. And, oh, by the way, there was a loose ball in the fourth quarter. And I don't know why the national media is giving this guy a pass, but he bailed on a play where he could keep the game alive, and he decided not to do that.
He pulled up. He didn't throw himself. Without
a doubt. So, to me, Anna, I think he really – I think he missed an opportunity there to step up and show leadership in that setting. I don't care that you lost. Yeah, that's the way that it goes. But you can't just be there and give those long-winded answers when you're winning, and all of a sudden you don't play well and you lose, and then you sit there and act like that. Like, I just thought that was just not – that was not respectful to the people that had been tooting his horn and doing that all season long, and rightfully so because he's an MVP.
You know, not that hockey is completely perfect, but there's certainly – you don't see this as much in the NHL as you see it in the NFL or MLB or NBA as you see it. These guys who are standalone single stars who come out and let you know that they're the star of the team. It's much more of a team effort in the NHL. What do you think that's about?
I think it's about the guys that came before you, and they teach you and show you how to do it.
Yeah.
I really believe that. That's how I learned. I looked up to guys like Troy Murray and Danny Savard, and guys that I just played with, and I saw how they were and how they treated people and how they treated the media and how they treated the trainer. So as I got older, I did the same thing, and then hopefully when I was getting older and guys respected me, is that those guys would learn the same thing. And again, I'm a believer of that. Is look, can you stand up there and take the heat at the hottest time?
Yeah.
It's not. It's great. It's easy to walk around town when everybody's telling you how great you are, and you can hold open the door for everybody, and you know, and it just. But all of a sudden, when it's bad, where are you? And I was very disappointed. I was kind of disappointed in how the media looked at that, and just, oh, he's a young guy. You know, he's disappointed. Well, no, I mean. It wasn't like that the day before when, you know.
No, it wasn't.
No. And when he's kissing his bicep, there's another thing that goes on there. I think
we can all learn from that, you know, from that down the road. Look, everybody makes mistakes.
True.
But you got to be able to learn from those and become better for it.
All right. Eddie, call a great game tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for stopping.
San Jose Sharks, puck drop 7:30.